Welcome to this sermon podcast from Myo Baptist Church, and thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that God's Word will be an encouragement to you and a reminder that the Bible has all the answers to living a successful and fulfilled life. Again, thanks for listening. We now join the service in progress.
The title of the message, as you can see, Mend Your Nets. There's an old saying that goes like this: when fishermen can't go to sea, they mend their nets. When fishermen can't go to sea, they mend their nets. That's something akin to a phrase that we all know, which says, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. I heard someone say concerning that, when life gives you lemons, keep them, because hey, free lemons, right? That's one way to look at it. Another person said, when life gives you lemons, say, cool, what else you got? And that's the right spirit, and that's the right attitude. So that's kind of what we're talking about today. When fishermen can't go to sea, they mend their nets. Let me ask you, during this pandemic, I hear of a lot of people that are struggling, not necessarily any of you, not necessarily, as I think about, anybody in our church. But out there, if you watch the news, they talk about suicide on the rise and all sorts of mental health issues and all sorts of problems out there. Well, those are people that are definitely not making lemonade out of the lemons they've been given. I want to share with you this morning some thoughts about how you can make lemonade. Yes, even in the midst of something no one of us, young or old, have ever been through before. I want to challenge you with the same principle that fishermen use when they are unable to go to sea, because when fishermen can't go to sea, what do? They mend their nets. This might be one of the most important messages you hear during this whole time. This could be life-changing. This could help you in so many ways. Let's look at this concept from Scripture. Let's look in Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to begin at verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they, to their credit, straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. Mending their nets. And he called them, which brings us back to our theme today. When fishermen can't go to sea, what do? They mend their nets. Think about it. For the lives of James and John to be prosperous and successful, they had to catch fish. That's how they made their living. That's how they had a roof over their head. That's how they had food in the, well, I guess they didn't have a refrigerator then, but that's how they had food. Now, catching fish required at least two things. One would be the right weather that would allow them to get out there and attempt to catch fish. That's one thing they needed. Another thing they would need would be properly functioning nets. If they didn't have either one of those, they're not going to catch the fish. Properly functioning nets meant that from time to time they had to be mended, they had to be repaired. They would get old over time, and it took some inspection and realized, well, I got a problem here. They had to mend it. Or maybe throwing it out there in the lake, maybe there's an obstacle under the water there and it may rip, and they pull it up and they see a big rip and they know they have to mend that net. Now, being men of good use of time and efficient use of time, the best time to do that would be when they can't go out and fish. when the weather wasn't right. And the interruption of their fishing, the interruption of their fishing routine by bad weather turned out to be a blessing in disguise by allowing them the opportunity during the bad weather, when they couldn't do what they normally did, when they couldn't do what they were used to doing. That's the perfect opportunity for them. Now, let's mend our nets. Mending nets, if you think about it, was a valuable way to spend their time when they couldn't do what they normally did. Remember that concept. It was something profitable they could do when they couldn't do what they normally did, go out and fish. Notice on this slide, the idea of using downtime to mend fishing nets really is a beautiful analogy of using downtime to mend areas of our lives that need mending. The idea of using downtime to mend fishing nets is really a beautiful analogy of using downtime to mend areas of our lives that need mending. It's a perfect analogy, particularly when you look up what that word in the New Testament, mending, meant. When it says they were mending their nets, that word was used broadly. The word is mending, conveys the fundamental idea of putting something into its appropriate condition so it will function well. So it says they were mending their net. What they were doing is they were putting the nets in the appropriate condition so it will function well. It conveys the idea of, get this, setting right what has gone wrong. That's what that word meant as to what they were doing that day when Jesus passed by. They were mending their nets. If they hadn't mended their nets, they would have wasted the downtime, and they would have shortchanged themselves of the opportunity to catch fish in the future. They didn't waste their downtime. In fact, they made the best of their downtime, and it became a very profitable time. Now, are we not in a time, and we have been for 8-9 months now, where most of us aren't doing what we normally do? Now, some of the stuff that we normally do, we do. People that have jobs and continue on with their jobs. But still, there are things that we used to do that maybe we're not doing near as much, or maybe in some cases not at all, depending on the individual. A lot of people don't go to restaurants now. A lot of restaurants are closed. Some jobs have been suspended. In other words, we're in a time when the weather's not permitting us to fish. The weather's not permitting us to fish at this time. Guess what? Now's a great, great time to mend your nets. You do have more time, probably. More time to do things that are really important, because at this particular time, I think we're more focused on what's really important anyway. Mending nets is the necessary stuff you have to do to get things done. One writer said this: in its simplest terms, the idea of mending nets when you can't go to sea reminds us that there will be times in our lives where we may not be able to do things we have always done in the ways we have always done them. That doesn't, however, mean that we should simply sit around feeling sad or being idle. That's worth pausing and thinking about. Because things aren't like what we're used to, obviously from the reports I'm hearing on the news, a lot of people can't handle that. I mean, really can't handle it. Sadly, I can't think of a more awful condition to be in than to be depressed, and to be so depressed that you would even think of doing something that would otherwise be unthinkable. And it doesn't have to be that way. Mending nets for James and John was a valuable way to spend the time of doing something profitable when they couldn't do what they would have normally been doing. And may I suggest this morning to you, as your pastor, those of you here and those of you at home, I think there's three very important areas now that the current situation, and it will improve. I'm optimistic. It's going to get better. I mean, everything indicates it's going to get better. You know, one way or the other, it's going to get better. But right now, you know, what we got to do is just wait this thing out. But right now, you can either be depressed and bored, or you can be mending your nets. Let me suggest three things that most often need mending, and now would be the ideal time to do it. One, we need to mend our attitude. Two, we need to mend our priorities. And three, we need to mend our relationships. Let's look at these. Number one, have you considered mending your attitude? Now's the perfect time to think about your attitude, because all of our attitudes have been exposed one way or the other. We need to look back at a good example in Scripture is Asaph the psalmist. He wrote in Psalm 73:2, he said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." This is a godly man, but he's got a bad attitude. And he's got a bad attitude towards God when he saw the fun that the ungodly were having. He looked around, compared to today, hey, I'm going to church, and they're going to the lake, and they're filling up their cooler, and they're just having a grand time, and I'm going to church. And that didn't sit well with Asaph. He's got a bad attitude. That's the wrong attitude to have. He needs to change his attitude. So we read on. Psalm 73, verse number 16. "When I thought to know this," in other words, he considered it, he's having an attitude adjustment, "it was too painful for me." He said, it was just hard for me to, I really struggled with this, which affected his attitude. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Verse 18, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How were they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors." When he got to looking at the whole picture, he realized this is the most fun they will ever know. They will spend eternity in hell. This is the worst I will ever know. I will spend eternity in heaven. And his attitude changed. He had an attitude adjustment. The psalmist had the attitude adjustment. Think about it. During this time, we feel the pressure. And there's pressure about us, the pressure of uncertainty, and the pressure of, am I going to have my job? Are we going to be able to make money? Or am I going to stay well? Pressure is applied economically. It's applied as far as our health is concerned. It's applied socially when you can't be with people. And this pressure brings out what's really inside of us. And we need to be open and honest enough to realize that sometimes, and I can't say for you, because I don't know, but I can say for me, at the beginning of this pandemic, the pressure revealed some things in me that needed attention. I needed an attitude adjustment. Under the pressure of what we've been under for the past number of months, it could reveal great frustration on your part. It could reveal impatience. It could reveal anxiety. It could reveal anger. And if that has been exposed in you, you know that these things are not of the Lord. He applied the pressure to expose them to you so that you can recognize them, so that you can fix them. Because our attitude is critical. Attitude is important. And if God has revealed to you weaknesses in your attitude, he has done you a favor. Because the good news is you can fix it. You can fix it. I mean, with God, all things are possible. And it's so important to have the right attitude. Listen to this quote. "Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you respond to it." Is that not true? Life really is not, we have no control over what happens to us, but we have pretty much total control over how we respond to that 10%. And I like this other quote, attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. Do you, at this time, having your attitude revealed? You know, it's just like you've heard the old illustration. You know, you put a tea bag down in a cup, and you pour hot water on it, and what's inside the tea bag comes out. Well, we've had hot water poured on us through all of this that we've been dealing with. And what's come out? If it reveals an attitude that needs mending, you need to mend it. And you can mend it. Now, you may need some help mending it. And that's why God has given you family. That's why God has given you church family. That's why God has given you pastors and pastors' wives. There's all sorts of help out there available. You don't have to live with the wrong attitude, whatever it might be, however it's been exposed in your life. In this situation where God has exposed bad attitudes, that means now is the time to address bad attitudes and mend bad attitudes. So, number one, may I suggest to you during this time that we mend your attitude, and number two, mend your priorities. Mend your priorities. Sometimes we need to reevaluate our priorities like Solomon did. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and in verse number 9, he tells us what his priorities were. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Solomon, at this point in time in his life, his priority was things, pleasure, sensual pleasures, materialism. But he come to find out that he had his priorities wrong. In Ecclesiastes 2, verse number 11, he says, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, guess what? All was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Doesn't that explain a whole lot the sad situation with so many movie stars and personalities and rich athletes and what have you, that are just totally miserable? So miserable that so many of them take their own lives. I mean, it's very sad. It's very tragic. But it didn't stop there. He came to that realization. So he says in verse number 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So Solomon came to the point in his life where he examined his life of pleasure and realized it didn't compare to living for God. So Solomon reprioritized his life. It's during a pandemic like this that it changes our lives, it changes our routine, it takes some things away, it adds some things to us, and that in and of itself causes us to reassess our priorities. We thought we couldn't live without sports, but during the pandemic, especially early on, there was no sports on TV, and you realize, well, you know what? You can live without sports. I can live without LSU football for the rest of my life after last night. We thought we could live without family, but during the pandemic, we realized, having not been able to see them in so long, just how important they are. We thought we couldn't live without going shopping, but during the pandemic, we learned we can live without shopping. idea. I'm going to get it wrong, but let me see if I can share it with you. One guy says to himself, or one lady, it doesn't matter, says to himself, I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it. I can't help it. I'm going to go ahead and press the button for the 100th time today. Add to cart. We thought we could live without going shopping, but during the pandemic, we found out we sure can live without it. We thought we could live without going to church, but during the pandemic, I think some of us realized just how important and how wonderful church is. When our world is turned upside down, it causes us to reconsider what our priorities in life really should be. And we may realize during this time that we have had our priorities out of order. Let me share this thought-provoking quote. Let us reflect on what is truly of value in life, what gives meaning to our lives, and set our priorities on the basis of that. Not only do we need to adjust our attitudes, but is this not an excellent time for us Christians? Now, the lost world really can't get this and understand it, but for us Christians, let us reflect on what is truly of value in life, what gives meaning to our lives, and set our priorities on the basis of that. And this quote as well. The most important thing in life is knowing the most important things in life. Is that not true? The most important things in life are knowing what the most important things in life are. Do you need to mend your priorities? You have probably thought about it. You have probably thought about what's really important. I think during this time, it brings most all of us to reflect and realize things have been shuffled around, and maybe things we thought were important are really not as important as I thought they were. And maybe some things you thought were unimportant, you come to realize, no, that's very important. Now is a good time to say, thank you, Lord, I got it. Thank you for putting me in this pressure cooker. It has revealed some things about my attitude. So mend your attitude. Mend your priorities. And lastly, number three, this is a good one. Well, they're all three good. Mend your relationships. Mend your relationships. Some people, we have been thrust in the situation where we're spending more time with them than ever. Sharon has been so blessed to be able to spend so much more time with me over the past 8 months. Do I hear a hallelujah, amen? Or am I dreaming? And in some cases, you haven't seen people for, in some cases, months. And we start evaluating those relationships. And during this pandemic, God's been so good to us to give us, to force us. You know, we live in the United States of America. We live in one of the wealthiest countries on the face of the earth. We got more stuff. We got more toys. We got things to go to and things to do. And pretty much a lot of that has been pushed to the side. And what a great time to think about relationships. People had to mend relationships in the Bible. Paul had to. Acts 15, verse number 36. A lot of you know this story. And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas had been traveling, doing mission work. Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas, let's go. Let's go back to some of those churches that we started. Let's go see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Good idea, Paul. I'll call Mark and we can leave in the morning. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Mark started off with Paul and Barnabas on that missionary journey, and along the way, Mark said, I'm done. This is too hard. This is not what I thought it was going to be. And so he left them. And Paul took note of that. And Paul said, okay, you're going to play that way? You're done with me. So then when Paul gets ready to go on another missionary journey and he tells Barnabas, let's go, Barnabas' first impulse was, well, okay, we'll call Mark. And it says again, verse number 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them. This is a relationship issue here now. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work, that's Mark. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. In other words, they had a big disagreement over this because Paul wasn't having anything to do with Mark. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by their brethren unto the grace of God. So Paul was still ticked over the fact that Mark had bailed on them. So Paul and Mark were distanced forever, right? No, because you read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, in Paul talking to Timothy, one of his assistants, he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Paul mended his relationship with Mark. You know, during this time, not only are we separated from people, but to a degree, people are at risk. Now, 99% of the people, they get well. They do fine, and we're so thankful for that. Some people get sick. Some people were sick enough to go to the hospital, and sadly, some people pass away. And it's during a time like this, I think all of us may be prone to be thinking about the value of our relationships with people. It could cause us to maybe realize that those petty differences are just that. They're petty. Personality conflicts are just that. They're just personality. And past hurts, I can't even remember why I'm not speaking to my cousin. It's been so long ago, but something happened. Now's the perfect time to mend those relationships. A couple quotes here. This is so true. This rings true because it's verified in Scripture. We were created for social connection. That's why the Lord says to assemble. We're at our best when we have healthy relationships with people who genuinely care about us, respect us, and lift us up. Is that not true? We are at our best when we have healthy relationships with people who genuinely care about us, respect us, and lift us up. Another individual says, no one who achieves success does so without acknowledging the help of others. The wise and confident acknowledge this help with gratitude. No one who achieves success does so without acknowledging the help of others. During this time when I think we're more likely to slow down a little bit and think about others, is there a relationship that needs to be mended? Maybe the Lord's bringing some person to your mind right now. Maybe several relationships. Remember this phrase, when fishermen can't go to sea, they mend their nets. So what do I think would be good for us to think about mending during this time? Mend your attitude, mend your priorities, mend your relationships. If you do that, you're going to be put in a position to be more blessed or more successful than had you not taken the time and shown the maturity to make the necessary changes, the willingness to mend your nets. They were mending their nets. Now let's skip ahead. Luke 5, verse number 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. And I think most writers believe James and John were with him also after having mended their nets. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Verse number 6. And when they had done this, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. They were blessed because they mended their nets. They would not have been blessed had they not mended their nets. And they caught a great multitude of fishes. I wonder how many of us might be suffering in some way from the fact that we never even think about our attitude, much less mend it. We never even consider our priorities, much less rearrange them. We never even consider relationships because, bless God, I'm not changing. How many fish are you missing out on? Peter, James, and John, and those fishing together brought in more fish than they could have ever dreamed possible. In part because they had mended their nets. But I want you to see this final thought this morning. You see at the end, you've already read it. I got it underlined there. And their net broke. Their net broke. Guess what? They had to go back and mend their nets again. Net mending should be a constant part of your life, and you'll be the better person for it. Mend your attitude today? Wonderful. Mend your priorities today? Fantastic. Mend your relationship today? Attaboy, you got it. But you're going to need to mend them again and again and again. But those are the fishermen that will catch fish again and again and again. I love you. I love you at home. The Bible is doing you a favor. It just seemed like it was just kind of put in there of no big consequence. James and John were mending their nets when Jesus came by. No, apparently that was put in there for a pretty good reason. It teaches us a very valuable lesson. I hope and pray you get it. And this isn't just not another service. I hope and pray you will think about it. I hope and pray that God will convict your heart to the point that if you need to change your attitude, you'll start working on it. Not saying it'll be easy. Not saying that any of these will be easy. But they're all right. You know, I have to do this. My wife has to do this. I've got two sons that are pastors. They have to mend their nets all the time. My pastor friends. Maybe we have to do it more than anybody. You know, we're dealing with people and the idiosyncrasies of people, and some people get mad, and some people leave you, and some people do this, and some people do that. You got to keep mending your nets. But that happens to you too in your course of life. It's just something that sounds right. Mend your nets. Mend your nets. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for our time together this morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would have its free will in convicting our hearts, Lord, to act on this message as you would intend for people to do. And where necessary, mend their attitudes. Where necessary, mend their priorities. And where necessary, mend their relationship. Lord, I pray that this message would result in real change and real good being done for your honor and for your glory, Lord, and for our personal benefit. Lord, help us to act on this. Help us to not let this die out on the way home, but where you have impressed upon us during this service, Lord, problems with our attitudes or problems with our priorities or problems with our relationships, Lord, we would act on it and with your help and by your grace, fix it, making us more like Christ. And Lord, if there's someone within the sound of my voice who doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, help them to understand that they're a sinner. Help them to understand that you, being a just God, must punish sin, and that punishment is that when we die, we spend eternity separated from you in a place called hell. But may we also understand that not only are you a just God, but you are a loving God, and it is not your desire that any man or woman ever go there. And that the only way of escape, Lord, is not for us doing good, because we're still sinners even when we do good. The only way of escape is what you have provided through Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and lived a perfect life and yet died a horrendous death when Jesus took our sins upon him on the cross, and he paid for them and offers to us the free gift of salvation. And if there's a person, Lord, listening this morning that has not received you as their personal Savior, putting their faith and trust in you, repenting of their sins and turning to you, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray, dear Lord, that they would stop right now, bow their head and acknowledge their sinful state and acknowledge their dependence upon Jesus Christ, would repent of their sins and would turn to him to forgive them of their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And Lord, may the time spent in this service this morning sharpen us as Christians, Lord, that we would indeed think about our attitude. We would indeed think about our priorities. And we would indeed think about our relationships, Lord. We see biblical examples of this all throughout Scripture, Lord. We just mentioned three this morning. But may that motivate us to grow and to mature in these areas, that we might bring honor and glory to your name, and that we might be a brighter light for you in this darkening world. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that the service was a blessing to you and that you were encouraged by God's word. If you have any questions about Myo Baptist Church, please contact us anytime. You can find contact information on our website at myobaptistchurch.com. Thanks for listening.